meeting is now being recorded.
Hello and welcome to the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Jurisdiction Subgroup meeting number 34 on June 8th, 2017 at 1300 UTC. We have the agenda in front of us. To briefly review it, we'll have our usual administrative minutes, and then a review of the decisions and action items from the last call, followed by a review discussion of the mandate and scope of this subgroup, followed by a review of ICANN litigation. We have three cases queued up for today, and hopefully Raphael Beauregard-Lacroix will be on the call. I don't see him yet. And AOB, we seem to have AOB twice, but that's my mistake. And then a note that we have two meetings after this and before Johannesburg. Any questions or comments on the agenda before we move on? Tiago, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. This is Tiago. So my question is directed to you. The point was raised before in the mailing list about why are we coming back to this question again. There were proposals coming from myself and Jorge that we shouldn't be discussing this action item at this point as you are proposing it. And still, the comments that we made in the mailing list were completely disregarded, and you maintain your own proposal, which I would expect should be should reflect the group's proposal rather than your own individual views. So can you please develop why we are coming back to this point again, taking into account particularly that in our previous call, I raised and suggested that we should be discussing substantive issues, and you simply overruled my suggestion, didn't put it to the vote, and decided that we should be discussing the mandate of the group again. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Tiago. It's possible you haven't been paying sufficient attention to the list. I did respond to your point on the list, and there have been numerous comments on the list with regard to discussing the jurisdiction scope and mandate. Just to help you with the list, since you didn't read it, I did respond to you that, in fact, a discussion of the mandate and scope is dictated by our work plan, which was approved by the group back in April. I'm not sure if you joined the group yet back in April, so perhaps you haven't caught up on our prior work. But just in case you haven't, you should look at the email I responded to you with, and that notes that we have this discussion queued up from our work plan. So we are following our work plan. And as far as the proposal goes, there is no proposal, just a collection of the statements from our kind of foundational documents. So what you take from them or what the group takes from them is entirely up to the group. So I'm sorry if you felt you were disregarded, but I don't see any actual evidence of that. Does anybody else have any comments on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. First, I'd like to see if there are any changes to statements of interest.
Okay.
that Caboose, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. I just want to make some clarification to the situation that I participate at the meeting. There are many participants, ranging from, 20 to 30, 35. Each of us has its own mother tongue, has its own intonation, has its own way of speaking, and it should not be interpreted differently or associated with any political motivation. People should not say that X or Y raising their voice or speaking loudly and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, there is no standard for the speaking. There is no electronic system to cut off above some level or below some level. So please kindly indicate to the people, do not make anything on their domain or on their webpage that Mr. X or Mr. Y raise its tone and so on and so forth, or speak loudly and so on and so forth. Everyone has his own intonation. Some people speak very softly, very slowly. Some other people speak differently. But in no way anyone has any intention to raise its voice at all. We are a member of a family working together and need to understand each other. I totally disagree with this sort of interpretation of the people taking any political motivation in the way that I speak. That is totally rejected.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Caboose, your voice is very muffled and indistinct, so it was very difficult to understand if you see the captioning pod in Adobe Connect, you'll see that, for instance.
Can you hear me?
Captioner was we can't hear you very Caboose. It's very muffled.
Did you kindly listen to what I said? It was understandable? It was clear or not?
Caboose, I'm sorry to say it was not understandable.
Would you like that I repeat?
Perhaps you could type into the chat. The problem was the audio quality.
Audio quality is not my problem. The line is one of the best lines in the international communication. So there's no problem. I don't know. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Do you hear me well, please?
Caboose, this is it's better now, so maybe you can make your intervention again. I believe it was about everyone speaking evenly and not having any political motives behind anyone's participation assuming that.
What I said was that different people have different intonation and voice loudness as they speak. Some people speak softly. Some people speak normally, and the way that the people speak should not be interpreted differently and should not be associated with any political motivation that Mr. X or Mrs. Y raised its voice or spoke loudly. I'm sorry if sometimes due to the quality of the line, you have to speak a little bit more loudly to be heard. So it should not have any misinterpretation or any association with any political motivation with respect to the country of the person who speaks. This is number one. Number two, unless otherwise clearly stated, when I speak. As a participant in CCWG, working through two to the victim subgroup without representing any entity or any country or any government. That should not be associated unless I clearly indicate that I speak on behalf of X or Y. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Thomas Rickard, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Greg. And just to respond briefly to the conversation that we just had, Caboose, I have not heard any comments on political speech or any comments relating to those issues. When you spoke, the first time you spoke, I could not understand a single word of what you were saying. So we were just asking for you to speak up or try to get a better phone line. So this did not have anything to do with the substance of what has been said. I thought it was important for me to just make this very clear because I was one of those who had a very hard time understanding you. Second time you spoke, it was much better to understand, so I think there is no issue with that. So thanks for that, and I will turn to mute my microphone again. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. So in any case, I'm not sure if we need to cover this point any further as we have a lot on our plate. Caboose, is that an old hand? The hand is down, so I'm going to assume that that was a theoretical comment, not a comment on anything that occurred in the meeting prior to that comment. In any case, Tiago asks in the chat, is our work plan set in stone? Well, it was approved by the group. We've only dealt with it twice. Not sure why there seems to be such a displeasure with the idea of deciding what this group has set out to do. It would seem to me that figuring out what it is we're supposed to do is rather fundamental to doing it, but others may disagree. Number four, it brings us to the review of decision and action items from the last call. In the last call, we reviewed our decision to invite respondents to the questionnaire, to the call, and we decided on the following procedure, that we would advise our respondents once their response has been presented and then point them to the transcript and any other materials over the recording of the meeting at which their response was discussed, and then offer them the opportunity if, once they reviewed that material, they wanted to clarify or correct any elements of the discussion, they can participate in an upcoming call. So that is the decision. Action item from last week was staff to prepare a form letter or email for the rapporteur, me, to use in connection with this decision. So I'll just ask staff for a status update on the form letter or email. Bernie, please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Greg. Unfortunately, we've been quite busy. I've got it on my list to complete this week, so you should have it in your inbox by end of business Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. I feel your pain. We've all been extremely busy. I see Aubrey's note in the chat. Aubrey said, I would note that when the staff accountability group found itself questioning its charter, it went back to the Workstream 2 meeting, the plenary, to request clarification and change. We've been around this issue so many times without resolution that it may be worth considering taking the issue up in the full meeting. I think, you know, that is a wise suggestion. I think that we should attempt here to decide. We don't even exactly have a question. And I was in the staff accountability group, and we spent a meeting or two developing, in essence, the question to come back to the full group with, and kind of defining where our problem or our disagreement or our lack of clarity lay. So hopefully the result of our discussions here will either be clarity on our mandate and scope, or at least a question or more clarity on what exactly the points on which we need to seek guidance from the plenary, since going to them and just saying, tell us what to do, would be a rather vague type of request, and hopefully we can make a more pointed request in trying to define our mandate and scope. But in any case, we've been going around on this, and the point is to stop going around by having a conclusion, not by continuing to avoid it. Paul McGrady, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. Paul McGrady here. I agree with Aubrey's thought that it's time to take this to the plenary to finish this off once and for all. I do agree with your refinement of that idea that the request be pointed. I think that it's time to just say the status quo is that ICANN's formation jurisdiction is in California. All the accountability mechanisms hang on that fact. There is nothing in the basic documents here that requires us to undo Workstream 2 accountability mechanisms. People have, including me, have independently asked the chair of the ICANN board, what they think about this issue, and he spoke for the board and said they're bewildered or something along those lines, that we're still talking about it. However, we do have a group within this sub-team that wants to continue to talk about it, and should we continue to talk about this or should we get on with other work? I think that we need to do that, because otherwise we're getting to the point where we have gone over and over and over and over this issue, and each time we think that it's settled, it returns. We're getting to the point where we're either going to have to get an intervention here, which is unfortunate, or we're going to have to declare that we've failed of our essential purpose, that we weren't able to come back with any proposed changes on jurisdiction, which I think would be a shame, because I do think that there are some tweaks we can make to accountability mechanisms and things like that, or contracts that would be beneficial to the community. It would be a shame for us to make no progress because we got hung up on a handful of folks wanting to move ICANN outside of California. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Caboose, please go ahead.
Excuse me. I don't think that we should refer to the handful number of people. For the time being, we are all members of the group or participants. Let us not to have a polarization and division and marginalizing people, because I also noted that in some emails, some people mentioned that a small vocal minority. I don't think that we should refer to minority or majority. At this stage, we need to convince each other. So this is very important, and not to make a division and not to marginalize the people saying that you are part of minority. Yes, there are sometimes fewer people than others having some views, and their views must be respected. Second, if we are not making progress, it is not because of the question is raised, because the subject is complex. It is one of the most complex and crucial and sensible and delicate subject that we are dealing with. So please do not put it as a fault of raising questions. I don't think that we should discourage the people to ask questions, to raise the concerns, and telling them that, no, don't raise it because we don't have progress. I think I don't like to finish something which is incomplete. Let us raise questions, let us raise our concerns, and let us be convinced. The decision on the minority or majority will get CCWG meeting when the final decision on the recommendation is made for the second meeting. Then the chair would declare whether it is a minority or majority, but not at the level of the subgroup. So perhaps we would not welcome any more statement that you are minority or we are majority. I don't think that we should have that decision. We have worked together for 3 years. Let us work for another year as a friend, as a member of the group, and not as a polarization and diversity group. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus, for your thoughts. I would note, however, that as a matter of procedure, the subgroups, as well as the plenary, proceed by consensus or full consensus, and consensus is defined as a situation where there is a broad agreement of and only a small minority disagree, and if that is the end result, the minority can put in a minority statement or minority statement. So procedurally, while I do hope that we could come to consensus or even full consensus, we do have to look at the distribution of opinions and use that in trying to move forward. So I see Tiago saying, let's take up Jorge's proposal and do as he suggests, but I don't know what Jorge's proposal was exactly. I will note an earlier suggestion that we deal with the unambiguous question. We did that. We did that for several months, again, Tiago before Tiago joined. We dealt with the question of the effect of ICANN's jurisdiction on the venue and choice of law provisions in contracts and in litigation. So that has been done. I think what we need to do is to see if we can make progress. And I think we have found at this point that ambiguity is not an option. At this point, if we want to have a vote on ambiguity, we can have a vote. But I, for one, see that it's difficult to proceed in the face of ambiguity, except by dealing only with that which is unambiguous. And that, in fact, has been the approach in other groups, working groups that I've dealt with. Is to deal only with that which is unambiguously part of the scope, that is what we did, and we could go back just to that work and finish it up if we'd like. That is an option, but I think regardless, what we need to do is to see if we can decide this question and move forward. I've just sent around a slide, which I'm going to ask staff to put up. Perhaps we just use that to get to what I think is probably the point of difference on our mandate. I think it would still be helpful to look at the underlying document, the charter, and the final proposal from Workstream 1, and see where that leads everyone to think we stand in terms of the mandate. But in any case, if staff could put up the slide I've just sent around, that would be helpful. Sometimes there is a delay in staff receiving the slide.
It'll take us a minute, Greg, but we're working on it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Caboose, is that an old hand?
No, it's a new hand. Sorry to come again. I think please go ahead with your agenda. The issue before us, in my view, it is better to raise it with the plenary of the CCWC. And kindly do not spend any more time on that. There is some disagreement. When I look into the chat, I see where the disagreement comes from. So go ahead with the remaining part of the agenda, because we now spend about 22 minutes on this issue, which I don't think that we could resolve it at this meeting. It should go to the higher level. Thank you.
Aubrey, could you please go ahead? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is Aubrey speaking. I just wanted to point something out, and let me say, first of all, that on this particular jurisdictional issue, I'm one of the people that finds myself really in the middle of the conversation. And sometimes it worries me that we're doing this as a two-point discussion that says we're either talking about staying in California or we're talking about leaving. And there really is a middle position that sometimes we've worked on, and sometimes we've gotten back to this binary, which is assuming that we're staying in California, and I've heard lots of people make that assumption. What are the ways of mitigating the issues like the OFAC and such that other people experience so that they can accept that indeed remaining in California works? And very often when he comes up with an issue, we say, oh, you're just trying to leave California, as opposed to accepting the issue as no. We accept California at the moment, but perhaps we see issues with that that need some form of mitigation. And what are we going to do about that? So I'm hoping that as we move forward, if we take the issue to the plenary or not, we don't just deal with this as these people want to get rid of WS1, they want to leave California, and look at the issue of we've gone to Tinder a lot, but perhaps there are some issues that do need mitigation that would make staying in California an acceptable for the consensus. But I hope we can get away from this binary of, you know, good people want to stay in California, bad to leave. Not quite that form, but yes, and I think we need to get away from
Aubrey, thank you. Actually, I agree with what you said. And I think that probably is, if we in fact are successful in getting past this point, that is probably the way our work should proceed. And, you know, we'll try to capture that, which is, I think if you, as you said, you know, assuming ICANN stays in California, what can we do to mitigate the accountability concerns that people raise? We still need to determine that whether the questions that have been raised are in scope for the group, but you know, either saying that we can't answer a question because it assumes we are staying in California or it assumes we are leaving California will get us nowhere. I think we need to deal with the question in front of us or send it to the plenary. So I'll take the cue and then turn to the question on the screen. Caboose, is that a new hand? I'll assume that's an old hand from Caboose. To Johnny, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Greg. Johnny speaking. I would like to support 100% what Avri said. I think we lost a lot of time because of this, this fear from some people that we speak about leaving California. There is no, I don't think this is the aim of our discussion or of this working group. It is only one layer of the jurisdiction layers in Annex 12. So people refuse to put it on the table. Okay, no problem. But as she said, it is not a binary. It is not staying in California or leaving California. It's not that at all. We have to assume when we want to work together, if we have different points of view, we have to assume this case and this case and see what we can do to diminish any concern that we have with the jurisdiction in this case. So I think that we lost a lot of time and we need to go forward and to I agree 100% with Avri. Thank you.
Thank you, Tejani. I think Caboose's hand may have been new, but he was just delayed in responding. Caboose, please go ahead.
Sorry. What I said was it is better we do not discuss at the subgroup whether or not I can office stays in California or United States or outside that. Rather, we should discuss what would be the potential impact as far as jurisdiction is concerned if the office continued to remain in California. That is something that we could discuss. Because being or not being in California was something that was decided at the first or at the World Stream 1. And at this stage, no one proposes to redo the work is one, but we can discuss what would be the impact of being in California from the jurisdictional point of view. I think that we can discuss. It is within the mandate of our group. I don't know whether you could raise it in that sense, and leaving things outside or inside not being discussed at this group, but just discussing the impact of that. A potential impact. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think that makes good sense, and I thank you for the suggestion, and I feel like we are actually perhaps heading toward a common understanding of how to proceed. I'll turn to Christopher. Thank you.
Hello, good afternoon. I apologize for arriving late. The connection took some time to wake up. I have been here to many things, and especially to directly or indirectly to Annex 12. And in normal circumstances, as I've said before, we could continue with the de facto compromise that I agreed with Ira Magaziner and others in 1998. All I would say today, and you know what my point of view is, I said it before and I'm not going to repeat myself, all I would say today is that the political situation internationally has changed radically during the last 6 months. And if you decide that, in considering its recommending changes to ICANN status, is it within the scope of this subgroup? Perhaps it is not within the scope of this subgroup if we read carefully the mandate and other texts. But then, please don't think that the issue has been resolved somewhere else. I don't need to waste your time speculating about where it would go. It is not at all sure, Avery, that it would go to the CCWG plenary. But I think several of you are engaging in a certain amount of wishful thinking. This cannot go away as long as we're dealing with the international situation as we have experienced it in recent weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. There are certainly many questions out there. Not all of them are within the mandate of this subgroup, as important as those questions might be. I'll take Paul McGrady and then try to wrap up this portion of the discussion. Paul, please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. I guess I don't fully understand Christopher's comment. When he refers to the international situation, I think that I'm supposed to know what that means, but I don't know what that means. Christopher, can you clarify? Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I guess all of us, each of us have our own interpretation of the international situation. And, but in any case, I think our discussion needs to focus on the questions in front of us. I think that the prospect or the amount of discussion that has been devoted to the concept of either moving ICANN or changing its form of organization such that it would have some form of immunity or both has in many ways kept us from more substantive work. I put this slide together before our meeting, of course. So as I've noted, we had almost a year of discussion, really about 9 months, and not reached consensus on whether our mandate includes recommending any changes to ICANN's status as a nonprofit California corporation.
Can I have a...
Excuse me? So I think what we need to do is consider the question at the bottom of the screen here, which is considering or recommending changes to ICANN status as a not-for-profit California corporation within the scope of the subgroup.
Can I have the floor, Greg, please?
When I finish going through the question, thank you, Tiago. So if we answer this question no, then
that's
similar, and perhaps we can rephrase it as Avery did, assuming that the status is not changing, what can be done to mitigate the issues that have been raised within the subgroup that would allow us to proceed? Tiago, please go ahead.
Now, that's precisely my point. I think the question that you are presenting the subgroup is something that you considered before the point, before Avery raised the point that she raised, and before also Cavus raised other interesting points. So I'm not sure whether we should be reading this question before actually deciding on whether to follow Avery's or Cavus' proposal.
Well, I think this question is actually consistent with Avery and Cavus' proposal, which is that we need to proceed with the assumption that this group will not recommend any changes to ICANN's status as a not-for-profit California corporation. Once we do that, we can deal with making improvements or recommending improvements to the situation that we have in front of us. If we can put that to bed once and for all, we can really discuss issues and resolutions given California status and that we have. Thomas, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Greg. Let me just remind you of the way we've operated in Workstream 1 when it came to very challenging junctions during the process. You might remember that we had different governance models, you know, a supervisory board and, you know, all sorts of different legal formats that we could use for ICANN. And what we did at the time when we had different options at our fingertips, we would test the waters with the group and say, well, which of the options that we have in front of us do get traction? And we would only pursue those options that got sufficient traction. And ultimately, we ended up with the concept that we enshrined in the Workstream 1 document. And it looks to me a little bit like we're at such junction in this debate. There are obviously participants in this working group who would like to explore further whether there should be immunity for ICANN, i.e. whether the legal format should be changed. There are others who would like to explore other places of incorporation. And then there are still others who would like to maintain the status quo and test during the work whether all accountability features that the accountability working group might be looking for can be supported by the system. And what I suggest doing, and I guess this is pretty much in line with Greg's intention, is that we test the water in terms of what option gets most traction. And from what I've heard so far, I guess there is a lot of traction for basically confirming the status quo of ICANN being incorporated in the U.S., in California, and then continue with your impact assessment and the other questions that you have in front of you. But I think it would be unfortunate if we started trying to get back to the starting point where we talk about content and about places of incorporation as a starting point or changing the legal format as a starting point. And I guess it would be a great outcome of this call or this sub-team to bring this to closure. That certainly begs the procedural question whether this committee should bring it forward like an answer on substance, i.e. that you confirm the status quo or whatever the solution that this group might favor might be, or whether you want to ask the scope question, which is sort of the same question, just asked differently, or whether you want to bring it to the plenary. And I guess that it would probably be the most straightforward approach and the usual practice that we had in Workstream 2 so far, to have this group test through the rapporteur whether the different approaches discussed, and we don't have to restart the debate because the debate has already taken place, which of the models get most traction, which by the looks of it seems like it were incorporation in California, and not to pursue further the immunity question, and present that result to the plenary. And then if the plenary feels entirely different, then it might be the subject for review. But other than that, the scope question would more or less be redundant if other concepts than the present concept do not get more traction than what we currently have. I'm sorry for this having been a little wordy, but I wanted to offer a little bit of background and history to how we've approached things in the past. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Thomas. That's very helpful, and I think it does point a way forward for this group. Tiago?
Thank you. Well, it still seems to me that we are pushing the cart before the horse. We're discussing about remedies before even we had finished examining all the consequences of the place of incorporation of ICANN. I don't understand why we are coming back to this immunity proposal or different proposals, and that we are rejecting possibly at this point different proposals as a solution. Well, we don't even have, as I said before, examined all the consequences. And every time it seems to me that we attempt to discuss those issues, then the mandate question is thrown at us. It seems to me that it's a bit contradictory now that to discuss what are the available remedies, whether they are within or without our scope, considering that we haven't finished the examination of the substantive impact of ICANN's incorporation in the United States. So again, impact first and then the remedies. And what is striking particularly to me is that, again, every time someone tries to call the group's attention to substantive issues following from ICANN's place of incorporation or other aspects flowing from ICANN's location, then someone comes up that with the suggestion that this is not within the mandate of the group. And then now, as part of this attempt to say that this is not within the mandate of the group, we're not discussing impacts, we're discussing remedies. I don't understand. I think this is a bit contradictory, and have doubts about the ability of the group to move forward if we keep bringing these issues over and over. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I think this is the attempt to stop bringing up the same issues over and over. Caboose, please go ahead.
Yes, I'm very sorry. I think this heated discussion should have been taken place in April 2015 when we start to talk about the model to use for the CWD accountability or ICANN accountability workstream 1. At that time, when we have multiple membership, single membership, voluntary designation, sole designation, we discuss everything, and every time we were based on the views of the lawyers saying that according to California law, and they continue. So the workstream 1 totally is based on that code and nothing else. If at this stage you want to remove or propose to remove ICANN from California or elsewhere, we have to see whether or not we need to redo the workstream 1. That is the situation. If you want to be sure of that, in addition to what I suggest, saying that at this stage, only discussing and examining the impact or legal impact of ICANN remain in California on jurisdictional issues. Apart from that, in addition to that, with the agreement of the co-chair of the accountability, you raise the questions to the legal advisor saying that should there be a situation that it is decided to move ICANN from California to elsewhere, what would be the impact on the entire workstream 1, new boiler, and all of these transitions? I think that is a very, very ample and important question. I do not suggest that. I would suggest I'm most interested in the impact. If it does not have any negative impact, we don't mind whether in California or in Switzerland or any other country. The impact for me, for us, is important. to see whether they have any negative impact, that there might be in view of some people some negative impact. There might be. So what I suggest to kindly, not disagreeing with every proposal, if you agree, take the suggestion that I have made, at this stage, to limit ourselves to study and examine the potential impact from the jurisdictional point of view of ICANN continuing to remain in California. And that's all. And if you want to raise the question, the consequence of moving that on board the 3-1, you can put that question. What I said is exactly what Thomas said. And this was also said sometime in an email by Matthew some time ago, that redoing the 43-1 would be horrible and would be impractical and so on and so forth. 2 years and sometimes maybe totally unimplementable. Maybe the whole transition will be questioned. So let us take a pragmatic and practical way. Impact. Only study the impact. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. We have about 5 minutes left. Paul and then Tiago, briefly. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning. This is Paul Rosenzweig. I'll intervene very briefly to essentially support the way that Greg and Thomas have proposed to go forward. We might want to reword the question into a report and suggest simply to the plenary that we have decided to proceed with our work by assuming that California will remain the jurisdiction of incorporation, and that if that is to be reconsidered, it will be reconsidered in some other forum, and that our report is not meant to prejudge that, but rather simply to begin with that as an assumption and assess accountability within that. I don't know if that rephrasing better captures what Avri was trying to suggest. But in either event, I think that the essential takeaway from this is that in future actions within this group, within this subgroup, if when we identify, I agree with Tiago that sometimes when people identify problems with California, those of us who like California as a jurisdiction respond by saying, well, you can't complain about California, we're stuck here. That's not right. The right question is it mitigable? But the truth of the matter is that sometimes when people say that's a problem, the response is it won't be any better anywhere else. So, yeah, we've got to work within California to mitigate it. So if we can just declare off the table some of what people respond to by suggesting we need international jurisdiction or avoiding multi-stakeholderism, we'll at least be able to finish our work. So that's my proposal for how we might possibly revise the question to capture what Avri said and move forward.
Thank you, Paul. I think that's a good restatement of at least one of the options that's in front of us. Tiago?
Thank you. So what I ask you, Greg, as rapporteur, before drafting or redrafting the questions, please go through the transcript of today's meeting, go through the texts that were written in the chat, and then try to put together the different suggestions that emerged from today's meeting. Before doing anything, put that to the group's consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I think that is a good suggestion. There have been, you know, a number of good suggestions, or in some cases, slight rephrasings of similar suggestions. So, trying to capture the best formulation of the different options, and then putting those in front of this group, I feel like we may be actually able to break out of the what one participant described as the endless merry-go-round that we're on, at least one way or the other. So I think I will take that suggestion so we have some, you know, a good rephrasing in front of the group, and if people want to suggest further tweaks to a rephrasing, we can do that, but I think we need to not get too deeply into wordsmithing. So once we have some clarity on what we are looking at, we can close on it. And I'll get that to the list in the next couple of days, as soon as possible. Hopefully we can discuss that on the list and then wrap this up on our next call, unless somehow it gets wrapped up on the list before the call. But having covered it across two calls, that should enable us to bring this discussion to a close, have some clarity on how we proceed, and then go forward and discuss substance. So I thank you all for your participation in this call. Sorry we did not get to the litigation cases, but as it turns out, we did not have Rafael anyway. So we will have some discussions next week of those cases. And I thank you and appreciate the spirited but still collegial debate that we've been able to have, and I think we really have made some good progress on defining what's been a thorn in our side. So with that, I will adjourn this meeting and look forward to our discussion on the list and to our future activities. You may stop the recording. Bye, all.
Bye, everyone.